do you see our common building practices contributing to climate change?
Back in 2002, conventional wisdom was that it was automobiles and transportation that was fueling the rise in CO2 emissions and climate change. There was really no building sector that was identified or statistics for a complete building sector. So we undertook to do that in 2002, and when we put a building sector together, lo and behold, buildings were consuming almost 50% of all the energy produced in the United States and responsible for that amount of CO2 emissions, and that translated worldwide also. The numbers are very, very similar. So at that time, we discovered that the building sector was the largest consumer and emitter of greenhouse gas emissions.
So what can we do differently in building to lessen that impact?
Well, first, there's just a tremendous amount of wasted energy in operating our buildings. So there are many, many, many ways to design a building to make it quite a bit more sustainable, use a lot less energy, as much as 70, 80%, just through applying design strategies, which are really either low cost or no cost, or in most cases, cost savings options. And then we can use renewable energy to make up the difference. Where you place a building on a site, how you orient it, how much glass you use, what kind of materials you make it out of, the color of the building and the roof play an important part, how much insulation you use, what kind of glazing. Most commercial buildings are day-use facilities. So if you daylight them, you don't need any electricity during the day for lighting, and that's a huge energy consumer.
I mean, designing ways for natural light, too.
Exactly. Think about it. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, before we had the, electric lighting, all buildings were daylit. We can reduce consumption by 70 to 80% just through solid design strategies.
So it doesn't cost more to build this way? I know there have been some critics in the real estate development arena say that some of this isn't feasible economically.
No, that's a total fallacy because, first of all, many of the design strategies don't cost anything. If you use the same amount of glass in a building, only you locate it differently, that's a design issue. The other thing to remember is a designer or an architect, when they're designing a building, they're literally specifying every single material that goes into a building. We can trade off different specifying different materials and technologies in a building and equipment, options that you can specify that actually save the owner money. So the question shouldn't be not how much does it cost more, but how much can you save me?
You closed your firm a few years ago to focus on a nonprofit, the 2030 Challenge. Can you talk about what the mission is?
We do quite a bit of research. We're now training architects in 22 markets in the U.S. on how to meet the targets that we set up, reducing energy consumption by 60% in any building you design now, and then incrementally increasing that reduction to the year 2030. If you're designing a building then, you design it to be carbon neutral or what we call zero net energy, meaning it produces all the energy it needs. We have another program that's called 2030 Districts. It's moving the entire district from a 10% reduction to a 50% reduction. We also are working with New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, for example. We conducted a study for them giving a tax credit to home buyers to buy more efficient housing. They're working on introducing a bill in the legislature this year.
Since the financial meltdown and the resulting recession, there's very little new building going on, but it sounds like there's still a demand.
What's happened is the recession has actually moved things along. We're not building as much, but what we are building is an awful lot more efficient, and actually people are demanding that now. People don't want to outlay all this money every month for utilities.